Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. It's Cakes, EB, Fish, and JP. That's the foursome. We'll talk to Tony Massenberg, Wizards analyst, coming up at 9:20. But joining us right now, our good friend Lindsay Zarniak, who's reporting for Super Bowl 52.
Drabby's talking
in Minneapolis for NBC Washington, where she worked for 6 years and, of course, moved on to ESPN. But now she's doing some work for NBC.
Lindsay.
Washington here in D.C. Hey, Lindsay.
We'll talk to you forever.
Hey, guys. Hey. I know. I was just asking Matt if y'all have to worry now about appearance because you're simulcast. You know, like if you worry about what you look like in the morning.
Then you haven't watched.
You clearly haven't watched.
Yeah. You haven't watched.
Well, no, I know you're beautiful people. I just was. Me. I was like,
we wear the same thing we did 10 years ago.
You would be so repulsed by us. We're so gross.
We are very unprofessional, never. As always.
And we've said this to you before, Lindsay, and I just I love to highlight it because I think it's so funny. I feel for you. So Lindsay was sweet enough to come on our show 10 years or so ago and wear an I Heart Junkies t-shirt. And it was really sweet of her. That's so great. It was so sweet of her to do it. If you Google her name, I haven't done it in like today or something, but it will be one of the first pictures that pops up of Lindsay because our listeners have downloaded it and seen it so many times. You have to regret doing that, right?
You know what? It was so much fun. In fact, I might post that picture again today. I really might because it was such a fun morning.
She wears it with pride.
Go ahead, Lindsay. Go ahead.
No, that's it. I love a good baseball shirt, it was a blast. That was so much fun, and it's funny because every time I see that picture, I'm like, man, my hair was so short, right? Like crazy, because it was forever ago.
You were so sweet to do that, and this is the other part of that day that I'll know. I think it was that day or it was another day, because at that time, she was also doing some hits with Mike when Mike was doing the middays. And so I remember you were on Mike's show a few times, and we would occasionally see you in the at the station. And I remember one time, if it wasn't the day you were on our show, and I always felt bad about this because I think that Lindsay thought I was kind of trolling her or like poking for information, and I wasn't. So we were talking.
Oh, no,
you don't remember then. So we were talking, and I said, you know, we were talking about your how you did that Channel 4 or that 4 o'clock show. Remember, you guys just stand up and you guys were just doing it like off the cuff, and I was so impressed with how you were doing it. And I said off the cuff, you know who else does that really, really well, who blows me away? This guy, Craig Melvin. I go, do you know him? I mean, what's his deal? And they, by the way, I didn't know this, they were secretly dating at the time.
Secret dating.
I had no idea.
Under wraps.
Well, how did you find that out? Was that Helly? Because Helly was constantly on me about, I know what's going on. What's going on? Oh. And
no,
it wasn't.
Helly's got loose lips.
No, the point is,
tell that guy anything.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's very nosy.
No, the point is, Lindsay, I wasn't trolling you or searching for interest. I didn't know. I genuinely was impressed by him, and you were looking at me funny, and I was like, why?
Do you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but I didn't.
Oh, my God. So the funny thing about that is that's actually like where we first professionally worked together was when they were like, my neighbor is here. Hi. I'm at a coffee shop. Monty, who also reminds me of Dan Helly. Anyway, so I got to be careful what I say
you
here.
Must be
anyway,
dreaming.
Monty.
This is so funny. No, this is so funny because, anyway, totally sidebar conversation. But that is what me and Melvin started. They asked us to do a pilot for this show called Daily Connection. And I remember when we started doing that was the first time I was like, huh. This guy, because I was sort of peeing on my territory when we first met because, you know, he's this new guy on news. I came back from the Olympics. I met him literally during the commercial break right before we went on air. And I'm like, who's this guy? Like, whatever. And I thought, he came off as really confident, really cool. But I just was trying to be like, look, like, you can't just come here and whatever.
This is my turf.
Anyway, right. So we do Daily Connection. And I'm like, wow, he's actually like really fun to work with. And then we had all these like random connections, stupid stuff. dumb stuff, but stuff like, oh, my favorite candy bar is a whatchamacallit too. And then he's like, and then he says his middle name's Delano, and I'm like, no way, that's my favorite hotel in Miami. So like, this is so dumb, but like, immediately I'm just like, okay, so he's kind of cool. Anyway, but then it turned into this whole like long, you know, up and down, on and off thing. But people didn't know because I was terrified. Like, I didn't want to just, you know, you don't want something to go south in your place of work if it doesn't work out. And
it did work out.
Yeah, and I remember because I was on the sideline at Redskins practice when he called me for the first time, like, to go out, like, to, you know, hey, more than coworkers. And I was like, I wrote it on the Washington Post that I had in my hand. I remember his number. And, yeah. So, anyway, sorry. Now I'm talking way too much about
myself. No, it's fascinating. I find that interesting. Well, anyway, look.
How are the kids doing, by the way? You got two.
Oh, thanks. They're awesome. They're really awesome. And my daughter is the younger of the two, and she's a little over a year, and she's just, like, wide open, which I love. And my son is, he's great. He's my little road dog. We travel together a lot. But yeah, they're great. They're awesome.
By the way, I gotta say, Craig is so good on TV. I was bummed when he didn't get
the Today thing,
Psycho Boy's job.
Right.
Oh.
I was really bummed. I thought he was gonna get it.
Thank you. No, he's, I think he's so good at what he does. He's great. He, you know, and I think it's been really cool to watch. I mean, frankly, I think it's very cool what they've decided to do. That they're going with Hoda because no one can say a bad word about her. She's amazing.
True.
He's had a lot of fun doing what he's been able to do with them. So, you know, I'm interested to see what they, how that show evolves. You know, I think that there's still a lot of great opportunity there. So we'll see if that changes at all, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But he's loving it so far. So it's been good.
All right. So explain what's going on with you. So I know part of this has to be your relationship. You know, you left on great terms with Channel 4 and Jackie Bradford, you know, the GM over there who everyone loves. We love her. She's unbelievable. She's amazing. And so you're coming back and you're just kind of doing the Super Bowl. I saw you did the interview with Gibbs. Are you kind of picking and choosing or is it just...
So that's what free agents can do.
Right. Do you have this luxury that you could do kind of whatever you want with Jackie or is it just going to be only for a couple weeks here and then we'll see what happens?
No, I mean, the Super Bowl is a one-off, so they specifically just called and said, hey, we want you. My friend just walked out of the bathroom here with his phone in his hand, which is so funny, talking on the phone. Sorry.
Right.
Anyway, I digress. It is one-off. I'm so pumped to do it. They called and asked me, you know, would you be interested because the timing works. I mean, it's obviously a kind of unexpected situation because of the way that I wasn't at the time doing anything. I'm not working right now for ESPN or any other entity that would keep me from doing that. So when they said, would you want to do this? I mean, I knew immediately that it's something that I would want to do. You know, we had to figure out some details, but it's great. So I'm coming back. This is what I'm doing, the Super Bowl. So there's nothing on my plate with them, you know, down the road. Of course, like you never say never, who knows? But this is how I'm treating it. It's just really an opportunity to come back and do, you know, what we did when I was working for WRC before. You know, we covered several Super Bowls together. And I, like, for me, you know, doing it with George for several years, it's like, that was such a dream. And the way that they covered the Super Bowl, it was just so eye-opening and, like, such a learning experience. And it's crazy because after I did that, then when I would be at ESPN and I would be doing Super Bowls, I'm like, man, like you take certain things that you learn from each experience. And so now coming back, I know it's such a different age, you know, and the way that our industry is moving and you know, time allotment and all that stuff. But at the core, I'm so pumped to be able to do it in front of our viewers again because people still care about the same things, you know. So anyway, I don't know.
Are they going to give you time, Lindsay? Because it's sad what's happened to local sports.
You mean with time being
on air? Like they're going to give you time because you're a superstar, so they're going to give you time. And Jackie's great, but it's sad what's happening. I don't quite get it.
I mean, I think it's something that's been happening for years, though, right?
Yes.
You know, everywhere across the country, and I can tell you because it's also the same thing that's happening at ESPN, meaning that it's all evolving into, you guys know, it's like the cord cutting and also streaming the phones. That's where people are getting their news. So
I know, but I still want to see sports when you do the news. I still want to see Lindsay I still want to see that.
Thank you. Well, I can tell you this. They've been very generous talking about, like, you know, the plan and what what we are hoping to accomplish out there. And so I do believe that they are going to give us the time needed to be able to tell those stories that we want to tell and do what we want to do. And look, I mean, the reality is anything that can't fit into the time of a sports cast, you know, is going to be, I will make sure it gets out there, you know, through right. social media, et cetera. And that's something that I used to be like, oh, whatever. You know, if someone said that, I would roll my eyes. But I see that. And now you look at the Amazon and Netflix of the world and things like that. And I'm starting to look at that and say, wow, that's where it's headed, right? And I don't know. There's all of a sudden, it's like there's so much more that is possible. And there are so many more stories and interesting things that are able to be shared if you look at it that way. I don't know.
You're going to be like Katie Couric. You're just going to be, right, working for Yahoo,
that's right.
working for Amazon.
Oh, God, whatever. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, I'm pumped to come back. And I wish they would give me like 11 minutes.
Right.
I think we should, but we are doing an hour special on Saturday, which will be great.
Oh, very cool.
You know, yeah, so I do. But we are, you know, like we are, I am hoping to do work in the 5 o'clock. You know, I know that sports isn't always in the five. But I mean, one of the favorite things I've ever done in my career was my lunch with Lindsay, just because that's the kind of content that I love. I love just hearing the behind the scenes things about, you know, that athletes think are important or, you know, whatever, stars in whatever industry. You know, so we've talked about that. We've talked about some other really cool things that we're excited about.
Do you have thoughts on the game?
I think it's going to be an awesome matchup. I think it will be a competitive game. I think it is always hard for me to envision Tom Brady walking off the field not being a winner. Right. And that's what I said about that conference championship game.
Yeah. So many people are picking
I want to see that again. I want to see that again. I want to see him as a loser.
I'm surprised at the number of people picking the Eagles. I'm actually surprised.
I know. Yeah, I know. I mean, I think they're such a formidable opponent. But, I mean, you know, coming into those games, like, I mean, the way Jacksonville had that game going, I was like, wow, sorry. I mean, we had one of our good friends here in the neighborhood as a Patriots fan, and he was all happy. And then we felt really bad for him. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, wow, you get to leave here happy.
You should never feel bad for a Pats fan, ever. For the run that they've had, feel bad
I know.
For them.
I'm totally in your camp. I agree. And it gives me hope, you know? Gives me hope for the future in D.C.
Right.
At some point.
Did you tell us about your Gibbs thing? How did that come about?
He's so great. It just came about because they knew that we wanted an opportunity to get him on our air, and so they were willing to have him sit down with us. And it was awesome to get down there, because I always like seeing him on that turf, because really it's like you go in there and I was expecting to see him, you know, really relaxed and calm. And he was the great guy that he always is in the interview, but he's visibly, you know, like anxious about what they're about to start in Daytona. You know, he's definitely still working just as hard, you know, or close to just as hard as he did with the Redskins. So it was really cool. But yeah, I mean, he told us some funny stories that I did not know about Super Bowl 26 that were funny and eye opening. And, you know, he talked a little bit about his take right now on the state of the team, et cetera. But it was really great to see him. It's just like catching up.
Give us one little nugget. Give us one little thing he said about the state of the team.
I mean, it's not earth shattering, but just his observations, maybe about the situation at quarterback.
Okay.
You know,
does he take a position? Does he take a position one way or the other?
Not 100% clearly, no.
Yeah.
You know, so it's more on background, and you guys know that, and I'm not going to make it seem like it's something that it's not. He did, however, take a pick in the game.
Mm-hmm.
He did make a pick, so.
Who'd he pick? You gonna tell us?
Why am I gonna say that now?
You gotta wait for the piece. Okay.
But I'll tell you what, this is another conversation that we were having down there, because I was saying, you know, me doing this now, it's interesting for me to understand this. Like, with social media now, it's kind of hard. Like, if you do an interview, right? Like, do you even do that? Do you even like hold stuff now, right? Because you don't, because the whole thing's changing. It's like you put that information out there. You know what I mean? Like with Twitter, with Facebook Live, it's always interesting to me, like, how fast that's all moving. And it's like, okay, so does it even make sense to hold things anymore, right? It's just interesting. I don't know.
I'm going to tease when it's on. So when can people watch it and watch you?
So people will be able to watch me 5, 6, 11 for sure during Super Bowl week beginning this coming Monday. And then Saturday we're doing a special. And then we'll have Sunday, you know, post-game. In terms of when those interviews are airing, we're still working that out. But we've got that. Joe Jacoby, by the way, you know, everybody's heard his story, obviously, and seen him interviewed. He had me in his office almost in tears because of the way he was telling the story. And it was, that sounds cheesy, but he went back over how he views his career. And it's like, I hadn't really thought about it the way that he was describing it in terms of kind of near misses or things that almost happened. And it really gave me chills and makes me think like, okay, so he's got to get in this time, right? You know?
Oh, it'd be devastating if he doesn't.
Right? So, I mean, so anyway, that interview was one that I didn't expect to leave there feeling like, oh my God. But that will run during the week also. So, you know, once I find out exactly when stuff's running, I will promote it. But our goal is just to go out there and really have fun and show people also what's really cool about Minnesota. I'm excited about that, to just kind of tool around. And the Redskins Super Bowl 26 connection is also something that is awesome. That's another thing about the Gibbs interview, to see him relive kind of that moment was pretty cool.
Well, Lindsay, thank you for doing this. You're sweet. If next time you're in town for an extended, you know, day or two, we'll have to get you in studio, and you don't have to wear your I Heart Junkie shirt.
Unless you want to.
Yeah. I'll do it. Maybe I'll bring my son and get him one, too.
Perfect. Cool. Perfect. Let's do that.
Awesome. I miss you guys.
Miss you. Thank you so much for doing this. And maybe we'll grab you once during Super Bowl week. Why not?
I was just going to say, you'll be out there, right, all week?
No, we don't do anything anymore.
Those days are over.
Really? We complain so much, and budgets are horrible. Yeah, it doesn't work.
Talk to Jackie Bradford.
We should. Now, Jackie has money.
I'm kidding, Jackie. I'm kidding.
Jackie has the money.
She's got the deep pockets.
He knows them. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
He's going to kill me. All right.
Enjoy the warm
weather. You guys are the best.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Bye. That's Lindsay.
Bye.
So sweet. And the background to that is, you know, in an era where, you know, when we were coming up, nobody really was nice to us. She was always nice.
She was.
And that's all.
Still is to this day.
Very cool.
Yep. All right. Wizards have two guys in the All-Star game, but they've been struggling of late. They lost their latest game to a sub-500 team, the Dallas Mavericks, the other night. We'll talk to Wizards analyst Tony Massenburg, former Wizard, actually, played for 12 NBA teams, next here on The Junkies.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. And join us right now, guy works for NBC Sports Washington before
with
and after
you.
All the Wizards games. Well,
it's one of your homies.
He does kind of the classier show, Wizards Extra.
I do Wizards Overtime.
He's with Julie Donaldson. Yeah. He's a big silly.
So, you've never worked with Tony before?
No, I mean, he comes on and we see each other and we hang out in the conference room.
So you're not working
at
the desk. You're on the nub couches and chairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's doing the more professional.
You're doing the informal show.
So they put the peons on the couch. Yes.
The nubbers on the couch.
Tony's wearing a suit. JP's wearing khakis if he's lucky.
Tony's professional.
Although Tony comes on overtime sometimes.
Right. He stoops.
I don't know. How would you describe it, Tony? You do Wizards Extra, and I forget what the name of the pregame show is.
Game time.
Game time. See,
game
I do,
time.
I do hang time, which leads into game time.
Right.
Then you've got the game, and then you've got extra and overtime.
Yes.
Well, there you go. One big family.
One big happy family.
Hey, Tony, I just noticed this, and I'm sure you've talked about this many times in the past, but I wasn't aware of this. You're one of the few players who at the University of Maryland played for Lefty Driesell, Coach Wade, and Gary Williams, who played for all three.
Mm.
Talk about each of the guys and what you liked and didn't like about them.
Yeah, last time, I don't know. I think I'm the only guy to
the
play for three coaches. You guys, yeah, I think I'm the only one. I mean, the only reason that happened is because I sat out 1 year and I ended up, I was at Maryland for 5 years. A lot of people don't know that, but right. I was at Maryland for 5 years and I got recruited by Lefty Giselle.
Mm-hmm.
And I first met Lefty down at Five Star Camp, the big high school basketball camp. And nobody had heard of me, this is long before the internet or any of that stuff. So I just had my name in the papers and my team had made it to the regionals. And I didn't really have any scholarship offers outside of the state of Virginia. And so when I went to that camp and I got seen by everybody, then I had tons of schools, hundreds of schools, mm-hmm. sending me letters. And the only school I wanted to go to was Maryland. Because Maryland was my favorite team. Lynn Bias was my favorite player. And I like Lefty Giselle a lot as a coach. So the entire time I'm there, I'm just waiting. I got all these other coaches coming up to me or whatever. And the only coach that I wanted to talk to was anybody from Maryland. Just anybody from Maryland. I really wanted to talk to Lefty. So at the end of that week, about middle of the week, actually, I've been playing pretty good. And who approaches me? None other than Lefty Giselle. So that was, that was a dream come true for me. I'd actually met one of the assistant coaches at the time, Sherman Dillard, who recruited pretty much everybody, Lynn Bias, Adrian Branch, Keith Gatlin, all these guys had been recruited by Sherman Dillard. Mm-hmm. And so I had seen Sherman on the bench, and when I saw him, I knew he was a University of Maryland guy, so I was really excited. And then later that day, I met Lefty. So that's how I ended up at the University of Maryland. And I played 1 year for Lefty. That was great. 1 year with Lynn Bias. They had won the ACC tournament the year before, so
right.
Maryland basketball was really hot at the time I signed to go there. And we had a pretty good year. We got knocked out in the semifinals of the NCAA Lenny's senior year. And I was on cloud nine because, just imagine if Kobe Bryant had got a chance to play with Michael Jordan at Carolina. Like, that's what it was like for me. I wanted to be like Lynn Bias. So when everything happened, of course, that was traumatic. And the following season, I didn't play. The team was really bad, and they had hired Bob Waite. And so I sat out a year and really worked on my game and my academics and everything and, trying to recover from the emotional trauma of losing Lenny. And I worked, on my body, tried to develop myself. I just totally immersed myself in the game. And I came back the next year, and I started in 1987 on that team from 1987 to 1988. That was Bob Wade's second year, and that team had six or seven McDonald's All-Americans on it. I mean, there was a lot of talent on that team.
Yep.
There were some guys that were left from Lefty's tenure, and Coach Wade brought in a bunch of guys that were All-Americans, guys that transferred, guys from JUCO. A lot of you guys may remember Bison Dele.
Oh, yeah.
Brian Williams.
Yep.
Yeah, that was he was a freshman on that team, and he was the starting center, and I was a power forward. And that was a great experience for me because it was the first time that I really got to play power forward because Lefty had me playing center. And so when they paired me alongside Brian, I mean, we had a great team, a lot of depth, a lot of talent. On that team, and we made it to the NCAAs in 1988. A lot of people don't know that, but we were back in the NCAAs in less than 2 years after the Bias tragedy. And subsequently, some things happened, some violations with Coach Wade. And
right.
I think the one that really stood out to everybody was
Rudy Archer.
Picking up Rudy Archer, giving a guy a ride to class.
So
like
dumb.
The dumbest NCAA rule you could possibly imagine. I mean, literally, here you are in college.
Does that still exist?
I'm not sure if it does or not. I really don't. I don't know. But it was the dumbest rule at the time. But you had to know the climate at the University of Maryland.
Yeah, we know.
At that time, there were a lot of people that did not want Coach Wade there and didn't want him to succeed. So it was a strange time. And
Tony, let me ask you. So that following year, you had a ton of talent, too. I don't have to relive the whole thing, but a couple of us are Maryland guys. But you had Walt there. Jason and I went to high school. Jason played with Gerard.
Yep.
So much talent. But getting back to the Lenny thing, and I think all of this has been covered ground. Everyone kind of knows that era and what happened there. But and I'm not asking you to say a bad thing about him by any stretch, but did you have a sense, though, that there was a lot of partying going on and that this aspect of his life might have been there, or was it a shock to you?
No, it was a major shock to everybody on the team. I mean, except the other two guys that were in the room. All right? It was a devastating blow to the team.
Tribble?
We had no idea.
Is that who you're talking about?
We met Tribble. Yeah, we met Tribble, but, I mean, we knew that he was involved in selling drugs. We didn't know that. But we had no idea that anybody was using. Mm-hmm. So it was just not something that you got to remember. You're talking about 17, 18 year old freshmen. You know, there are other guys on the team, juniors and seniors. But you know, we came in. We were a little green,
right?
You know, so you know, a lot of us were from down south. There was six or seven guys in my freshman class, and the majority of us were from the South, from mm-hmm. South Carolina, from I was from Virginia. One guy was from Ohio. So, you know, a lot of us were from down South. So we really didn't know about that part of the world. So we had no idea. I mean, we were literally all blindsided. And for me, you know, as an 18-year-old, you know, that was my idol. I mean, he was not just my favorite college basketball player. He was my favorite basketball player, period.
I think for all of us, our generation, Tony, because we're about the same age, a few years older, same thing. Certainly locally, he was everybody's idol.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, he was the guy that everybody wanted to be like. He was cool. He was funny. He was an unbelievable basketball player. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and just to have an opportunity to play with him and to practice against him and to, you know, to do drills with him and to hang out with him in the student union and hang out with him in the dorm. I mean, it was a dream come true.
Hey, Tony, you know how this business works. We have commercials. Can you come back and we'll actually talk about the Wizards?
Yeah, we got to talk about the Wiz with you, bud. Can you come
back? Sure. Right. Yep, I'm
all
here.
All right, stay on hold. They'll call you back in a second or whatever. I'll let you those guys work it out. But we'll come back. We'll do Tony, and then we'll get into what's going on with the Wiz, because that's what we wanted to get him on for. But the Maryland stuff
I can
is
talk
so
to Tony
good.
For
fascinating.
Hours.
Right? Yeah. Isn't it amazing?
Hours.
All right, when we come back, we'll get more with Tony, and this time we'll focus on the Wiz.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan, NBC Sports Washington. So we're talking to Tony Massenburg, who hosts with Julie Donaldson Wizards Game Time, which is right before the Wizards game, mm-hmm. and Wizards Extra right after the game. He's taken over that full time because last year I think you were part of like a big rotation, Tony, right?
Actually, I took over last year. The year before that, I was part of a pretty big rotation, yeah.
Yeah, so he's in there all the time, and we watch the games, and I wish that they had cameras on watching the games, because the amount of joning that goes on, it's Travis Thomas, and, you know, it's different people at times in there, but Tony's in there just grubbing. By the way, Tony is 50. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to guess your body fat percentage is like 7%. He's in sick shape.
Yeah, always has been.
It's actually, that's funny. My body fat is actually too low. I've lost some weight since I stopped playing. It's actually 3.8. I had it assessed about that.
What are you doing, dude? You're like a supermodel.
I mean, usually NBA players, they'll gain like a few pounds after they're playing. As you're losing weight, that's remarkable.
Yeah, I've lost like eight. I've lost like eight, 9 pounds. It's just muscle. Just not, you know, nobody pays me to run and jump anymore. So you get a tad bit of muscle atrophy, but, you know, I'll take it. I'll take it in
the
comparison.
Yeah, I've had some of my muscles atrophy over the years.
Hey, just out of curiosity, where do you make your full-time home?
I live in Maryland. I live in Maryland right now. I live in Maryland. Last 5 years, I've been living in Tyson's Corner for a long time, but I recently moved to Maryland.
And like me, he has a newborn.
Good for you. At age 50, yeah. You got a newborn. Wow, that's impressive.
You guys are old dads.
That's impressive.
Hey, easy with the old jokes, man.
Hey, I'm getting there. I'm getting that point. Hey, so, Tony, we wanted to have you on to talk about the Wiz. And, of course, John and Bradley both announced as reserves for the East, which is great. Bradley, his first. John's his fifth. But, you know, we've been kind of dissecting this team over the last couple weeks. And, you know, to us, there's something not right. There's something wrong there. I don't know if it's chemistry. Jealousy between the two superstars. We don't know what
it is. They look passionless on the court at times.
I mean, there's no way they should be getting beat by 25 in Dallas. There's something not right there. What do you put it on? Can you pinpoint anything that you're seeing?
Well, first of all, we won't know what it is right now because I think much like the Cleveland Cavaliers, they're going out of their way to not get into detail to what the underlying source of the problem is, and whenever there's a problem, there's always a reason for it. And schematically, we can't see what the issue could be. We don't, you know, you look at Scott Brooks and you say, okay, it's the coach's job to put the players in the best position to win. I think he's done that for the most part. I mean, you can always question some things, but, you know, it worked last year for the most part. And you look at this team and defensively, there are just too many. There are too many inconsistent nights. There are too many lapses in energy. And when guys aren't, you know, when guys admit that the team didn't play hard tonight, you know, that's a head scratcher because that's what you get paid to do as a basketball player, and it's just one of those things that, you know, it's just innate. You're out there, so obviously you're going to, you know, go as hard as you can, but. There are nights where the Wizards themselves admit that, you know, they didn't play as hard as they could have. And everybody understands over the course of 82, some nights you're just not going to have it. 82 games, you're just not going to have it. I get that. I give them excuse on that. But these losses to teams below 500 speaks to some mental deficiency pertaining to the team and what's causing it. Is some type of underlying friction that right now I can't put my finger on.
By the way, Tony says it the nice way. What EB says is they play stupid.
Well, let's
you
just
say
be fair.
Mental deficiency.
Yeah, I mean, they're not being smart.
Well, Tony, you were part of a championship team with the San Antonio Spurs, and I know that you've talked about this before. You've played on teams that had killer instincts. This team also lacks that killer instinct where even in a win, like they beat Brooklyn, I don't know, a week and a half ago. They're up by 23. It goes to overtime. They don't know how to put teams away.
No, and that's a little that's concerning because this is a team that's, you know, you see that happening a lot with the Philadelphia 76ers. Have you seen them play lately?
Yes.
They don't close games.
They cannot close out games. Yep.
They cannot close out a game, and they've got a ton of talent, and they literally are up 20. Plus on people going into the fourth quarter and end up losing the game. And it's because of just bad plays, bad decisions down the stretch. The Wizards suffer from that with much more experience, with a core nucleus that's been together for 4 or 5 years now. And so these are the type of things that you would suspect would not happen. I mean, you've got an all-star backcourt. You should not be committing turnovers in crucial stages of the game. You should be taking great care of the basketball. You should be able to execute offensively because guys should have a feel and a chemistry for one another. And so, you know, it doesn't always go great down the home stretch, regardless of what team it is, but there are a lot of inconsistencies with the Wizards closing out games. And like I said, it's a little bit of a head scratcher because the team has an experienced backcourt. It's got an experienced starting lineup that usually finishes games, and you've got a great sixth man in Kelly Oubre. So you look at this team, and it's got the essentials, but for some reason, it's just not coming together. Now, the fortunate thing for them is that there's still enough time left in the season to where if they can put a string of games together, then we're all sitting here having a very different conversation, you know, about their potential and what they can be coming out of the East. But until that happens, we're forced to sit here and acknowledge what it is that we're seeing. And that's some inconsistent play, especially going down the stretch in the fourth quarter and some mental lapses against teams that are below 500 that they should be able to run out of the gym on a nightly basis, and they're not doing that. So right now they're not playing up to their potential, and you know, again, we're all sitting back asking ourselves why.
Joined by Tony Massenburg. You can watch him on NBC Sports Washington before and after the games. He's a Wizards analyst. You know, we've talked about on the show that Markieff and Gortat's numbers are down. That's undeniable. But also Bradley Beal and John Wall's shooting percentage are down. But what I think is a big problem, and a lot of us have talked about it, is they don't show up on the defensive end possession after possession after possession. John's great at chasing down guys and blocking their shots. But there was a stat that I guess came out that he walks as much, not traveling, but walks on the court or stands still on the court.
It's not good.
As much as everybody in the NBA except for Dirk Nowitzki. They're 1-2. Dirk's 40.
Right. Not good.
No, that's not a stat I would be aware of. But I did hear that stat yesterday. And it kind of speaks to the overall mentality of this team. When you look at it, you say to yourself, like, wow, they could, you know, they should be pretty good. No less than, you know, top three in the East, you know, is what they should be battling for, right around the 2-3 spot. And if you'd have asked the team earlier in the season, they would have said they have as good a chance to be the best team in the East as anybody. But over the course of the season, you've just not seen it come together. And the reason being is, yeah, you guys are right. You know, defensively, they have to be better than average in order to be the good team that we see flashes of sometimes. And they don't commit enough to the defensive end. And the other thing is that the ball doesn't move offensively as well as it moved last year when they put that winning streak together at home. The one thing that you look at when you compare this team to last year is that offensively, they've taken a step back. John's numbers are also down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think Markieff and Marchand's numbers are down because it's a product of the lack of ball movement and the lack of transition also, because the team doesn't run as well as it did last year. It doesn't score as many points in the fast break as it did last year. And all of those things are points for guys like Marchand and Markieff because they sometimes can rim run and beat the opposing fours or fives down the court, or at least get good post-up position deep out of a transition situation and end up getting themselves an easy basket that way. You don't see these guys getting easy baskets. You see Markieff sometimes making three-pointers. You see Markieff sometimes work a guy on the block. You see Marchand every now and then get something out of a pick and roll, or they make a concerted effort to go to him right from the very beginning of the game to try to establish something on the post. But you don't see these guys getting easy basket, and that's
Tony,
because you don't see the ball movement on the offensive end the same way.
We only have 2 minutes, less than 2 minutes. But let me ask you about the constant rumors. And when there's smoke, there's fire, Tony. It's been several years now where people insinuate there's something can't – look, I can't tell. When I look and I watch these guys, I see them giving each other a pound. I see John feeding Brad and all this. But you keep hearing that there's some sort of chemistry thing. And these two guys are at the center of this. What are you hearing? What do you know regarding that? Because there's got to be something there to it, either on the court or off the court, that we just don't know about. But someone like you might know.
Yeah, and I'll be perfectly honest enough to tell you, I don't know. I've heard a lot of the same things that you guys have heard. You know, it's just there is nobody knows. I mean, the only thing that anybody knows is that what you're seeing on the court is not quite right. And I don't want to be the guy to throw out, you know, crazy conspiracy theories about these two without having a real connection to the problem at the roots. And I don't know what the root of this problem is. I know that there is a problem, but I can't specifically tell you guys what it is because I'm not in that locker room. I truly believe that guys on the team know what the problem is. And I've always said that when there's an issue, the leaders of the team are the ones that can address that issue. And the leaders of that team are clearly Brad and John. And I think they're flanked by Markieff to a certain degree. But until these guys can get it together like they did last year, because they got it together, those two in particular, got it together last year and made an effort to let people know that they got it together. And if you notice, the team went on to play a lot better, and they ended up having a decent season. Last season was a setup for this season to be really successful, and the expectations that were placed on this team just didn't happen.
Yep. So Tony, we got to run.
We're all still asking
Tony Massenberg. You can watch him
Thank
on
you,
NBC
Tony.
Sports
Hard break. Sorry we had to be so quick. Thank you.
That's all right. Thanks, guys.
Okay,
he played for 12 NBA teams.
Right.
Isn't that a record?
He was one of my favorite
Two
players.
Two other guys share it, I believe. But
Joe Smith, maybe?
Chucky Brown.
Jimmy Jackson, maybe?
Okay, if you say that.
Chucky Brown, he played on a ton of teams.
Yes. Yep.
He's a great guest.
All right, got to get out of here for Bish, Cakes, EB, I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow. Grandaddy coming up next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.